We're back. Republic of Texas Radio. Hey, it's a blind submission day. No, it's not. We're not going to submit to anything. It's actually Republic of Texas Radio Hour 2, May 22nd, 2022. I'm still having that M problem. M class. The phone lines are open. You can call in. It would be 512-248-8252. And before I go on any further, we do have a caller on the line, and we're sticking on subject to whatever the hell our subject is. But the station needs your help, right? It seriously does, folks. And if we're going to survive as a network, as a group of individuals, as people, as friends, we need to support Republic Broadcasting. I'm sorry that we're kind of like going off on this, but if you've listened to Republic Broadcasting throughout the years, you'll know that, well, it is us funded. You know, Varen said there's amazing things coming up. Dun, dun, dun. There's some changes that are coming up. Dun. We've got new hubcaps. We're going to get little spike things, diddly balls, and it's going to be all great. I don't know about that. I don't disbelieve it that there's great things coming up from Republic Broadcasting, but there ain't nothing coming up if you don't give anything, right? You know, those diddly balls that you hang from your rearview mirror dice. Sorry, they're not diddly balls.
And once again, Steve, I want to make an appeal to the satellite listeners out there, because I mean that's where I first found it, first heard it. Actually, I heard it on a micro broadcasting station that was picked up off the satellite feed. Before the internet was freaking everywhere, you know, and everyone had smartphones, and you can get anything you want to on your smartphone. Those of you who've been sitting out there and are still sitting out there listening on satellite, I just make the appeal once again. You know, I'm not super rich. I've got a lot of land, but that never came into my play as to getting rid of it, you know, and selling it, because I inherited it. I am very lucky. I am blessed to be where I'm at because my relatives came here and, you know, 1830s, and, you know, from Germany, they fled, you know, a monarchy, you know, nightmare. There's only been war, trying to start a life. I inherited this land. I don't ever plan on getting rid of it. That's not part of my survival strategy, except for what I can do on my property that I don't ever plan on getting rid of, passing it on through the family, hopefully. So if you've been sitting out there listening all this time, and it, at least call and let them know you are there, that you value the satellite feed, the information that's been produced, because I learned a lot from RBN over the years. You know, not every host I agreed with, you know, but a source of awakening, as infuriating and uncomfortable as that can be, at least call in and let them know you're here. If you've never donated, just drop them whatever you can. It, you know, anything and everything helps.
That's 512-248-8252. Or if you got a landline and you're charged by the minutes, call 1-800-313-9443. Do you want to add anything, Art, or should we go to the phones?
No, go to the phones.
Tom, welcome to the show. You wanted to talk about getting clean, huh?
That's right. And through the '90s, through the '90s, I did a lot of traveling, but I wanted to save money. So what I did is I always kept a pair of swim trunks with me. That way, if I could find a hose at a service station, especially the hose that they use to put water in a truck, where the hose is long, and the sun shines on that hose, you got warm water.
Yeah, well, that sounds like a good idea.
Back in the day, that would have worked fine. But these days, I tell you what, you try that these days, and you're probably going to go to jail.
Yep.
Because gas stations
I'm not talking about taking a naked bath. That's why I say you take your swim trunks with you always.
Right. I get that, but even. But today, I don't think you'd really get away with that, even if you got swim trunks with you, because most gas stations these days don't want homeless people hanging around them.
Right? Yeah.
And if they've got a water hose, you have to put like a dollar in the machine to get some water out, or a dollar in the little machine to get some air out.
Well, I mean, I lived like this for 34 years. I lived homeless, and I didn't give up the road until 2017. And, you know, I can tell you today, back in the day, back in the 80s and early 90s, gas stations, I used to bathe at gas stations all the time. But today, no, I wouldn't even try it. Because people have become cold and cruel.
Go ahead. Hey, Tom.
Anyway, no matter where I go, if I'm going to be any length of time out, I always pack a pair of swim trunks.
Like the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, a good towel is one essential thing you always have to have with you.
Yeah,
Have a towel.
Hopefully a good cotton towel.
Whether you're on this planet or going out across the galaxy, a good towel is one essential thing you always have with you. It's kind of like South Park, you know, except for your towel isn't trying to get you stoned.
Anything else there, Tom?
Well, the other thing is I would paint a 5-gallon jug black, put it on top of my van whenever I was traveling, so the water in that jug would get warm.
Hmm.
And then
that's
not a
bad idea if you're traveling. If you're traveling with a vehicle, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
And then I kept at least a small tarp so that I could actually, if it was cold and windy, and I had a hose hooked up to that jug, I'd fix the tarp in my van so it would be kind of like a drape, and then I'd have it end up out the door. I can go inside and I can use the hose and take a bath inside my van. The water would just be captured by the tarp, run out the door and onto the ground rather than,
my bathing, once this time of year hits and it gets up to 100 degrees or so, my bathtub gets real lonely because once it reaches a certain point down here in Texas, I've got a natural spring-fed pond that until it gets to a certain point, it's awful damn chilly to jump into. But I've got organic liquid soap, and I go down and I take my bath. When I go down and swim, I will go down and I'll take a bath in my pond with my organic soap so it doesn't destroy the environment. And my bathtub's real lonely
really
until it gets cold again.
Exfoliating. I was just saying that the perch do a good job of exfoliating or grabbing any kind of...
Oh, my God. If I don't throw a little fish food in there first, they will peck me to death. All the little hairs floating around and the little moles on my body. I can't go out and swim comfortably until I throw a little fish food in there to make them happy, throw some pellets in there, and then they'll leave me alone, and I can actually go swim without getting pecked to death. Yeah.
Hey, thanks for the call, Tom. You know, I appreciate
it. Hey, by the way, do you guys know anybody in Utah? Do you have any listeners in Utah? Oh.
No.
Oh.
Been there once.
Not that I know of.
Twice.
Well, the reason I was going to say, we're a little further north, so sometimes it's not warm enough to really be comfortable outside unless you have shielding or, you know, like I say, I put up, take... Well, even out in the wilderness, I take a tarp and hang it up. So I always pack swim trunks and a small tarp, particularly a luminized one, you know, a reflective one.
Yeah
there's a lot of...
We used to go out and spend 5 days to a week sometimes out in the middle of the Ozarks. Yes, there was always that knowing that we could get back to civilization, but if the crap hit the fan, it would be very uncomfortable for me. I could survive for quite a while, left to my own wherewithals, without the satellites and the tracking technology and the rods from God or the Hellfire missile that a drone could send in on. See, what you don't understand is that when the shit hits the fan, pardon my language, but they've got technology up there that if I walk out of my house, it will start tracking me, and it knows where I'm going. And it's not just one satellite with one sensor on it. One satellite can have frickin' thousands of sensors on it, and they can see movement. They have thermal cameras. They have infrared cameras. They have all kind of technology. You step outside your door and walk out to your pickup truck or out to your chicken house, they can see that it will sense that movement, and it will know it's there. Most people do not understand the amount of technology that the powers that be have that they can wield against us.
Well, that's true. You know.
Getting back to what Steve was saying, Teotihuacan, the end of the world as we know it. You know, when if we have something like that, when the stuff hits the fan, you know, what we've been talking about is if you have a vehicle. But the problem is, in a Teotihuacan or a total, S hits the fan, you're not going to be that vehicle isn't going to do you any good, because you're not going to be able to get any fuel for it. So
and anything will be a target.
Yep. And so what I focus on is how do you survive without a car? You can't haul around a 5-gallon jug painted black so you have hot water. You know, yeah, a tarp is a good idea because that tarp can provide you with shelter so you can stay dry, high and dry. But so a tarp is really good. That's not a bad idea. It's a little easier than a tent, but, you know, I always carried a tent with me. I lived out of a backpack. I didn't do this with a vehicle. I did this with a backpack. That is what I'm talking about. That's tough. That's hard. You got a vehicle, bad weather, so what? Sit and park and stay dry. But if you're out with a backpack and all you got's a tarp, that's you're going to stay dry. Yeah. That's your vehicle right there, you know? And when you talk of Teotihuacan, I mean, that's what this started out, a Teotihuacan discussion. You know, in a Teotihuacan, there ain't going to be no fuel. Stop this mindset of vehicles and what you can do with a vehicle, because that is not going to be an option.
Even if you have fuel stored back, you are the only vehicle out there traveling on the roads, they will see you. I can guarantee you that.
Target.
You know, you will, if you're the only vehicle traveling into town so you can get a Snickers bar, because that's what you're craving and you got the fuel to do it with, you will be tracked and targeted, and they will know exactly where you came from, where you're going to, and where you go back to.
Yeah, and, you know, talking about vehicles, the only type of vehicle I would be willing to consider would be a horse. Because at least with a horse, you can move through the woods without being seen. So travel becomes very safe.
And you can try to feed it, you know.
Satellites with thermal imaging cameras that can see day or night. Yeah. I understand this, folks. I don't have a computer or anything, but I do have channels that I can watch. And I've watched what's gone on, like, over in the Middle East.
Alan, you don't have to overbeat this one subject. They're already telling you that they're doing this all over Ukraine. And, you know, the Russians can see everything. The problem is the United States people won't believe you, even if they hear it on TV. You know, the Russians can see every square inch of Ukraine, right?
Yes.
And, you turn on a watch or a watch is on, they know a watch is on. You know, they could identify. That's just normal, right? But you won't be able to get that across to people here in the United States that they can be seen no matter what. And when we're talking, I don't know, in an Etowaki situation, I see there's going to be massive objects moving all sorts of different directions, right? Are they going to spend time focusing and identifying? Maybe they've got an algorithm to do it. That doesn't mean that sitting still is very important, but what if you don't have food or water? You're going to have to move, right? There's a need. You can sit and die, or you can try to move and perhaps live.
Steve, that brings to mind another dystopic movie that I saw. It was called Quiet or something like that, where alien species came down and they were on the planet. And when you went outside, you were fine as long as you didn't make a noise. If you stepped on a branch or if you said,
silence.
Hey, Joe, you know, it's like these giant insects would come down and murder you and eat you. And, you know, the only place they could make any noise was like in a like in a cave or an underground bunker, and then you only talked in a whisper. You know, because if you made any noise, you were dead.
The movie was called The Silence.
The Silence, right, yeah.
Yeah, those were always interesting movies.
And, you know, so Alan mentions food, and this is, I mean, Steve, you mentioned food, and yeah, sitting still is not going to be an option. But then again, you have to know what you can eat, what's growing wild out there, what kind of wild plants are out there that you can eat. Well, you know, if you don't know what you can safely eat, you're probably not going to live too long, because the first time you see something that looks like a sweet little berry, and you find out, well, oops, I shouldn't have ate that, you know. But there are a lot of plants growing out there that you can eat, and I've got a list of them here that, like clover. Everybody knows what clover looks like. You can eat the flower petal. You can eat the little clover itself. A dandelion. Everybody knows what a dandelion looks like. And a Carolina false dandelion. You've probably seen a lot more of those than you do actual dandelions. Both of those are edible. The entire plant is edible. You know, then you've got things like lamb's quarters and pokeweed and ground cherries, wild garlic, ramps. But then again, you need to be able to identify these and know where they grow.
Yeah.
It's like around here. I can remember my uncle saying that, you know, they would go out in the evenings. You know, this is back, you know, my uncle was born in 1928. My mother was born in 31. And when they were little, they would go out because, you know, that was, you know, after the Depression years, you know, the post-Depression years, right up until World War II and during World War II, they would go out in the evenings and listen to see if they could hear where the turkeys were roosting. Because when a turkey goes to roost, it goes up there and it makes all kinds of noise, and you can kind of tell where they are. They would go down. And it's illegal, but they will go down and shoot turkeys out of the roosting trees, you know, because you along a hillside, you know, bare trees, you kind of know where turkeys will roost. Mm. And the turkeys in this area, the wild turkeys in this area, were almost completely decimated. And in the 70s and 80s, 60s, 70s, 80s, my grandfather would buy turkey poults, and he would raise them up until they could fend for themselves, and he'd let them go. And there are turkeys, wild turkeys, once again, all over my property out here, all over this whole area, because my grandfather, but I can remember my grandfather and my uncle talking about how it became almost impossible to find a wild turkey. The deer were not as prolific as they are now, because everyone went out and they shot the deer, and almost all of the deer were decimated. And, you know, they raised beef, they sold their beef. They ate goats, or they ate a hog they raised in a pen. But the cattle were sacred. The cattle you kept for your money crop, you know, and that's what you sold. You know, you raised a goat or a pig or something like that to eat. And when you butchered a pig, you would invite your neighbors over, and your neighbors got some of the meat because you couldn't eat a 1,000-pound pig that you just butchered. So the neighbors got part of it, and the next year, your neighbors would butcher a pig, and you would come over and help in the butchering and the cutting up and the you know, the storing and the smoking process and everything, and everyone got something out of it. That was how people survived back then. You couldn't go to the grocery store and get whatever you needed.
Well, the only drawback to that was, you know, talking about going and getting the turkeys. In a Teotihuacan, because that's what we're talking about here, a Teotihuacan, the last thing you want to be doing is shooting any gun, because somebody out there on the road, maybe, you know, they're headed sort of kind of in your direction, but not directly at you. And all of a sudden they hear gunfire going off. Well, gunfire means people. People mean resources and supplies. So, you know, hunting is not an option.
Yeah.
Unless you have a suppressor license, which registers you with the government, so they know who have the suppressor licenses and they know where to look. Yeah.
Or a knife. Or a pen. Wow. Republic of Texas Radios. We'll go to the phones right after this break. Be right back.
Extendivite really works. Kate. Great for bodybuilding or endurance athletes. I can't say enough about Extendivite. It brings more oxygen to your muscles while working out. I never bought this product for heart health, but to improve circulation, and I am not at all disappointed. I noticed an immediate boost in my gym performance, but I thought I would wait to review in case it was a placebo effect. It definitely was not. This is the most powerful supplement I have ever taken in 30 years of bodybuilding. I have taken everything. Extendivite outperforms them all. The ability to squeeze just one more rep or add just a few more pounds to the barbell depends on your ability to carry oxygen where it counts, deep inside your muscle tissues. The added benefits of heart and liver health I consider a bonus. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Xtendovite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
So here we fight all through the night, going at it now.
We're back. A Republic of Texas Radio. Hey, I got a couple of phone calls out there, so let's just jump right in. Hey, Mark in Philadelphia. Welcome. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing all right. How's it going, guys? So what you're talking about there, Art, is the living the Spartan lifestyle. And I've been living it as long as you have. And but I had quite a few more ups and downs, I think, in my sojourn. I'm not complaining. It makes me tougher. But it does make kind of sense because when I go back to my history, because, you know, you have family, hang on to them. Appreciate what you got. Because if you don't have family, that's a big loss. And now our country is being wiped out. Our families are being wiped out. But my great-great-grandfather survived the Civil War. He was a prisoner of war in Andersonville for 11 months. And you don't know how many, since I learned that 5 years ago, I referenced that a lot. I go, wow, if he can survive hell for 11 months in that place, nothing that I've experienced even touches the severity that he went through. And I don't know if you guys have watched, if you guys have referenced that, you can watch it on, well, I know Alan doesn't have the internet, but you can watch the movie Andersonville on YouTube. It's 2 hours and 48 minutes long, and it's worth watching. It's really, really very revealing about not only the situation with the war, but also that, you know, the North, and look, growing up in southern Missouri, I would have been I'd have been a Southerner because it has to do with states' rights. But the North didn't even go to their aid to try to get them out of that hellacious situation. And there was, at one time, there was close to 10,000 at one time in that prison. Approximately 43,000 went through that prison in a little bit over a year and a half. But anyway, so and here we are today, and I'm telling you guys, this city of Philadelphia, this is a different world. I think the ones that have infiltrated our government long ago, this is one of their power bases. And you can tell it when you live here, especially if you're white, how the locals treat white people, okay? Not in your face so much. Well, it's getting there, but it's like a setup of non-support. And I also, Art, I know that you're a veteran. I'm a veteran, and this local VA is just they're racist, man. They're racist. They're supporting the minorities, but if you're white here, it's not a good place to be for a white person. And I hate to say that, but because this is our original. This is our founding capital of our nation, you know. So,
but that was the founding capital back before there was only 13 states. That was before, you know, they only had just a little tiny chunk of the country, and then they sent all their acolytes out to devastate and rape and pillage across the nation. But yeah, you know, things were a lot different back then, you know. I'm sure it's changed. I'm sure it has, my friend.
And please do appreciate that you guys are in the rural area, because I mean I've been trying to get out of here and I'm still working at that. It's like because these cities, especially these big ones, this is dog eat dog. I mean, this is like, you know, this is the man-made system and dog eat dog, and the prosecuting attorneys. Listen, this is all pre-planned. I mean, by design. The ones that are running these big cities, look at who they are. Are they there by merit? No, they're there by what they look like, okay? And then these prosecuting attorneys have been supplanted in these different big cities, and they're basically standing down for any violence. You know, they don't counter it. They don't stand up for authority and justice, and they're letting – it's a free-for-all. I'm telling you, man, it's a free-for-all. The violence here has gone way up. Oh, by the way, a little side note, I do have access to television right now, and I just saw a few minutes ago that now peanut butter is on recall. So they got to take away all our protein resources, including peanut butter. Let's not forget, we can't, you know, chickens, you know, you got to kill the chickens, and let's, you know, don't forget about the peanut butter. Yeah.
Jimmy Carter should be raising hell all over the television, shouldn't he?
Yeah. So what else have I got to report? I'm telling you, this is a weird, wacky world. This old quagmire, and I'm telling you, you guys, I can report to you, this is a clown show here in Philly. People with pink hair, purple hair, he, she, it, whatever, LGBTQYXRZ, I'm telling you, man.
Austin's motto for years, Mark, has been "Keep Austin Weird," and they were actually proud of it. But it's gone way beyond weird, my friend.
Oh, it was starting that way when I was there. I left in 2001. I actually left 10 days before 9/11 hit, and it was moving in that direction. By that time they had like close to a million. Now my understanding is the population there is over 2 million. It's way out of line. I know it's got to be way out of line now, but anyway.
You would not believe manufactured housing communities, just thousands and thousands and thousands of houses in what used to be countryside. It might be a year before I go back into Austin, and next time I go in, I'm like, damn, there's like 3,000 houses that all look the same over here, and people enjoy living like this.
Yeah. Well, one thing I want to bring up to you, especially you, Alan, I had heard this term gaslighting last fall from another veteran, and he tried to describe a little bit of it to me. He's a younger veteran, Army. And I kind of got it, but then recently I actually looked it up and went down the rabbit hole, and I realized that I know you guys. I hear the music. Can you hold me for a minute?
I'm going to hold you. Yeah, we're going to hold you over. Hang on. Gaslighting coming up next on Republic of Texas Radio. No, we're not going to gaslight. We're just going to talk about it. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
This is Today's Weird Minute. The folks in Washington, D.C. have given up on even pretending to care about possibility. Biden's proposed $5.8 trillion budget request for fiscal year 2023, an example. According to Truth in Accounting, if passed, this budget would instantly add an $83,000 tax burden per taxpayer. So that would make your taxpayer burden $919,000. 53% of the people in a recent CNBC poll disapprove of Biden's handling of the economy. Could that be because the Biden and everything is just to throw more money at it? Don't have the money? Just make more. The national debt doesn't matter. Inflation is at the highest it's been in my life. So spend more money. Everyone knows inflation is made worse by creating more money, but Biden keeps spending. When asked, well, it's Putin's fault, Trump's fault, or the Republicans. Until tomorrow, see this Pacem Parabellum.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
So here we fight all through the night. Going, we're back. The Republic of Texas Radio. Hey, Kelly in Georgia, just hang on for a few more seconds and we'll get to you, Patrick, as well. Let's go back to Mark in Philadelphia. You were talking to us about gaslighting. Oh, what's going on with that? He went down a rabbit trail?
And I didn't really know what it was, but I realized, now get this, this is from a fellow veteran who I'd not met. He happens to be a Marine, and by the way, to me, and I don't know how Art feels about this, but all the veterans that I've met, the ones that hold the highest code are the Marines. And this was kind of serendipitously brought to my attention from a Marine I wasn't looking for this, but what, long and short, I discovered that the VA, these are professionals that were keeping, they were keeping something from me that was already in my record with the VA, dealing with healthcare. They're keeping it from me, acting as if I would, you know, they were trying to sense to find out if I knew, because it was in my record, and this part, access to my record, I couldn't access that record. And, at least not most recently. So, you know, it really shocked me. But on the other hand, it doesn't, because the VA, although they're doing better, our country does not support our veterans like they could and they should. I mean, like to the nth degree, you know, go out of their way and really help, especially the Vietnam era. They were really abused. So, now they're coming around a little bit, but still, it's just like, it just kind of blew my mind that they had done that. And another thing that I want to bring up is that I did find a really good lead for a really good job, and it pays really well, and I'm very qualified for it. However, when you read down to the very bottom of the presentation for this job, vaccination required. Isn't that amazing? And this
comply
is for field
or
service.
Deny. Yeah, comply or deny, my friend. Yeah.
This is for, you know, I don't know if I told you that, Alan, that this is a field service technician job requiring travel on short notice. So anyway, so I'm hoping that we're, you know, I'm trying to get the handle on that, of how these companies can require you to actually have a vaccine. They shouldn't be able to be required to force you to go against your
ultimately your they're probably government contractors. And if you don't do what your government wants, if you don't comply, you get denied.
Yeah, I got you. Mm. Well, thanks, guys. Spartan on. Go Spartan. Go Spartan. Let's go. All right. Talk to you later. Okay.
Thank you,
over,
my friend.
Over. Over.
All right. Take care, man.
Well, I just want to clarify one thing, because I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea. I am not a veteran. Yes, I was in the U.S. Army, but my military career ended with a general discharge under honorable conditions, so I'm not a vet. And I've never seen combat. I've seen combat,
you know,
that's
the misnomer, Art. They use this so effectively. They think that everyone that was in the military went over and fought in the jungles in Southeast Asia and everything. It's like, no, there were clerks, there were secretaries, there were cooks, there were everything else. It's like, not everyone that was in the military saw battle.
No. I did not.
Hmm. Well, I Thank didn't you. Either, but I never made it into the Army or Marines or whatever. Hey, let's go back
you
to the
put phones. On my soil, like the Arkansas, the MMA fighter from Arkansas, put it as perfectly as possible. I have no desire to go halfway across this planet and fight someone who's not actually doing me any harm. You set foot on my soil, you're going to find the worst enemy you've ever found.
I saw that video.
Yeah. He put it as succinctly as it could be stated.
Yep.
True.
But anyway.
True enough. Kelly, hello. Are you there in Georgia? Kind of like
good morning, y'all.
In Georgia.
Another Hi, friend of mine from halfway across the country. How you doing, Kelly?
I'm doing okay. I was doing a lot better before I opened my mail and saw our property tax assessment for this year.
Ooh.
And, yeah. So I just am curious if any of y'all have gotten yours yet. And I don't know what it's like in Texas, or I think they're kind of going out everywhere right now in Georgia, Art. So you may have gotten yours. But to continue on the theme of homelessness, and I mean, good Lord, we're all going to be homeless if this keeps up, because our house went up in value last year's taxes were it was valued at $167,676. This year it went up to $263,161. So in the course of a year, with absolutely no changes done to this home, it went up almost $100,000 in value. And our
Thank
taxes
you, Black Rock
have
and Vanguard. Yeah, Black
yeah,
Rock and Vanguard.
Yeah, and our taxes are going up
$1,000. You will enjoy it or else. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Haven't,
I haven't.
I haven't received anything telling me my private property taxes are going up. So I think we must have missed it.
Well, you usually, don't you get an assessment? Like, we get the assessment letter, and then you get 45 days to file an appeal after that, and then they send out the bill. So, and everybody's just starting to get there. So I think Cherokee County, so yours is probably going to come eventually, Art, and hopefully it won't increase in value. I hope it doesn't, because this is ridiculous. But have y'all been seeing this over in Texas, too?
Let me tell you what. Still at this point in time, it is regionalized and localized. Appraisal boards and zoning commissions and everything else. This is the bureaucracy invading every aspect of our life. Whether you do any improvements to your house or not, it goes up in value, even though that's not what you actually paid for it. But there are people out there who will pay for it, like BlackRock and Vanguard and State Street, et cetera, that are buying up everything. And this, it's all planned, people. I'm telling you, this is. If I didn't have my ag exemption, if the government didn't force me to have cattle or a wildlife exemption on my property, there's no way in hell I could afford to pay the property taxes on my property.
Yeah, thank goodness I just recently got another job because I'm going to have that income just to pay the stupid taxes on everything. It's crazy, and The real estate insiders that I've been listening to say the housing market is about to crash anyway. So this is all just artificially inflated values that they're basing these taxes on. And it's going to hurt a lot of people. I will not be surprised to see a lot of for sale signs coming up real soon.
I talked to a very high level banker that was in the system and doesn't really like talking with me about what he was involved in, because I understand perfectly what's going on. And I've actually brought up about these increases and just the crazy property values, everything else getting higher and higher when you haven't done any improvements. Yeah, you know, it's the same piece of land with rocks and a few handfuls of dirt and some trees growing on it that cattle could find some sustenance on, and it keeps going up and up and up and up. And that's because some appraiser comes out and tells you that your property is worth so much more than what it was last year. And they've gone to school and they've been trained to say, well, it's worth this much. If it's got this, it's worth this much. And it's all bureaucratic opinion of what your property is worth, not what I can actually produce, but what it's worth.
Nonsense. Bureaucratic nonsense.
It's
such a damn shame. We have such a big, city employees. We have an army of these critters, right? And they used to be just normal people, right? The guy with the shovel that fixed your pothole. But they got an army of these people, and they don't actually now work for the city. Isn't that cute? They are owned.
You actually gave me the information of the American Planning Association, planning.
Right, the APA, but it's all
that
over the place.
Freaked me out when Steve printed this stuff off and gave it to me, and I was sitting here freaking out, looking at, because people, this is where your city, your county, your state employees, they all go for like these continuing education or management classes, and they go to these places. And they are instilled in this, and they are Delphi technique, and they are made to feel important, and like they've got a valuable, you know, you're a valuable asset to the community.
Well,
if you listen to our propaganda, and these people, you have no idea what's really going on out there.
Didn't Charlotte Iserby? I think
we're
the one that used to talk about that. Yeah, we really are. And I used to have more optimism about everything, but I just. This past week, I had something other really weird happen to us, and I'm just like, what is wrong with me? I'm just feeling very discouraged right now about a lot of things. It's hard to keep hope alive.
Well, you were talking about property taxes, and currently, last year, my property taxes last year, because I only have an acre, my property taxes last year were $213. Now, our notices don't go out. Our notices don't go out until the first week of July, and you have 60 days, basically, up until September to appeal. And if you don't appeal, or you appeal and you lose, then your taxes are due no later than the first week of January.
Yeah, here they you get 45 days. They and so on the letter they even tell you the date, the deadline for the appeal. Here is I think July 1st. Yes. So
same thing with us.
Yeah, I'm gonna appeal it. I've never filled one out before, and I'm, you know, they'll probably deny it, but it's not gonna hurt to try. And hopefully enough people will flood them with it.
If you appeal, whether you win or lose, you become a marked person.
I think I am already, Alan.
Well, I guess I must be marked.
You know what I'm talking about, Alan.
I understand perfectly, my friend. Yes.
Yeah.
Alan, I must be marked because I did appeal 2 years ago because they were charging me for something that was no longer on my property. And they actually came out and looked and, okay, well, it's gone. So my taxes were adjusted to basically show the initial fair value, not what used to be there.
Art, I may talk with you offline about how to do that.
You can win. But you can win and get a what appears to be a win, but in the bureaucratic system, once you cause a stink, you might win, but you don't really win because from then on you're marked.
Oh yeah, they're
going to be watching everything you do. Oh, you got chickens? Oh well, that increases your property value. Oh, you got rabbits? Oh well, that increases it even more. Oh, you've actually got grass on your property? Oh well, that increases it like, even more.
You put it like that, Alan. You put it like that, Alan, and I almost qualify for enemy number one right here where I live because when I go to town, people know who I am because I don't shut up. You know,
if you're trying to be independent and trying to produce as much as you can on your own, and you try to become independent of the system, yes, my friend, you are marked. You become marked.
Well, you know, one of the things when I go to town, people really do not want to engage me much in conversation because every conversation I have always turns into something political because I can attach politics to basically anything that people want to talk about. And so they don't want to talk to me really because they would rather, like you and I have talked about before in private conversations, Alan, they would much rather stick their head in the sand because if they actually took the time to actually really listen to what I was trying to tell them, you know, it would challenge them to reconsider everything they think about the world they think they live in. And they don't want to come out of their
Art, yes,
zone.
Art, I will agree. Those of us who have actually watched and paid attention to what's going on around us and understand what's coming at us and what the system is, yes, we are freaks in today's world, Art. We are a very small group of people. You are being listeners out there. If you're listening, consider yourself to be a freak in today's world. You are a very small part of the global society that understands what's going on and accepts and sees what's going on, as uncomfortable as it is.
I don't know about
consider
freak.
Yourself a You're a friend of mine. If you're listening, you're a friend of mine because you're a freaking freak, and I'm a freak. And in today's world, a freak is like a badge of honor.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I don't want to be like those other people. Well, I'm going to let y'all get in.
No, I definitely don't
want to
be like them.
Thanks for listening, and hopefully more people will call in and talk about their experiences because we need some kind of mass noncompliance with this nonsense. So we got to come up with some kind of plan. So. Well, y'all have a good Sunday. Thanks for listening.
Appreciate your call.
Right, love hearing from you, Kelly.
Thank you. Okay. Well, I don't know. Property taxes are.
Art Kelly's someone that maybe if she's not opposed to it, Art, next time I talk to you, maybe I'll give you Kelly's number. She's there in Georgia. I know Georgia's a state, and she's in the Atlanta area and everything else. But, you know, Kelly and her husband, Dan, are probably people that you would love to meet and talk with.
Possibly.
Anywho, on with the show.
Okay, I'll go on with the show. Sherry in Kansas, are you there? What you got going today?
Good morning, y'all. I appealed property taxes a few years back, and one thing you want to do is, and they were charging us for a building that had blown away years ago. You know, and you want to get comparables, what they are comparing your property to get this number, and, you know, and that helps too, because sometimes it's really outrageous. But I think a big part of this is we hear this stuff about BlackRock, Vanguard, buying these houses and paying more than the people are actually asking for. And then the appraisers take that number and say, oh, well, you could sell it for this. And that's one way they're raising the value of your house, is if you were to sell it. But you don't want to sell it. You just want to live.
Well, according to Fix Smith, Smith Fix in the chat room actually made a comment about this very thing, talking about property. And according to him, and I don't know, this is just what he's saying, in the first quarter of 2021, 15% of U.S. homes were sold and purchased by corporate investors like BlackRock. So,
your county appraisers, where they go to get their appraiser's license, is part of the system, people. You do not understand how insidious and effective Delphi technique. Take small people, put them into a room. You get their opinion. You say, we value your opinion, but don't you believe that this would be a better way to go? And everyone agrees. They come to a consensus, and then the consensus is what they go with. But they've been made to feel like there's something big, that there's something important, that people value their opinions when they don't really value their opinions. They just want compliant little pieces of shit.
Alan, just listen. And you're getting a little passionate, and I understand that. But here's the thing. They want to go to lunch. They want to go on vacation. They don't want your piddly, stupid crap. If you can't afford your taxes, they got that email. It said, raise the damn prices.
Doesn't matter if your family's been here for a couple hundred years on the same property. You ain't worth a crap. Yeah.
No. You see, now you're getting into your feelings and facts, right? Don't go there. Sorry. It's kind of heated, that there's a problem with
actual true
Texas.
Facts in today's world. You're right, Steve. Facts, true facts in today's world, that is a crime. Gee, sound like 1984?
And by the way,
anything like
folks,
that?
The facts that are coming out of the chat room, Smith Fix is our guest from last week, my friend. Chuck Smith,
one of the few working actual windmills that we still have on our property, because folks, we've had winds here that I know guys who've lived here their whole lives. They said, we've never seen anything like this. It's taking windmills and folding windmills up, so you can't even
it's
pull
global
water out
warming
of the ground with a windmill. And I told my brother and my nieces and nephews and stuff. I said, I've got the leathers to repair the pump at the bottom of the windmill. We can pull the windmill. We can repair the windmill so it pumps water again, so the cattle up in this one pasture can have water, you know. Because I was trying to shoo away this bull that they've got an above-ground pull, and this bull was damn near about ready to break into this pool to get the water because it was in a pasture that wasn't near a creek. But there's always been a windmill up there. There's always been water up there. And now this windmill is up there running. And I'm like, well, the brake's not even working. The windmill's turning and it's pumping, but it's not pumping water. The tank's dry. I'm like, it's not too hard. It will take us half a day, you know, with a pipe clamp to pull the pipes on the windmill, get down to the pump at the bottom. I've got the leathers out here to replace it to make it work again. And they look at me like, what, you expect me to actually do something when I come out here from the city? I'm like, so they'll probably hire someone and pay someone like $2,000 to come out and pull the windmill and replace a couple of pieces of leather at the bottom of the windmill pump, and they'll be happy about it because they've got a couple of thousand dollars at this point to do it. But knowing how to do it themselves, freaking moron.
All right.
I have no idea how to pull water out of the ground from 180 feet up to the surface so you can exist. They're helpless.
We're not going to get to you. All right.
Alan, did you say Alan, did you say that point was like 180 feet?
Yeah, that windmill is about 180 feet down.
Wow.
Yeah, which is,
and that,
so
that
deep,
windmill will pull
well,
it up that far.
You know, I've got a deep well windmill that actually has cypress rods in it because they're buoyant. So you can have like a 10-foot windmill, but because it's 320 foot, just the wind trying to turn it wouldn't work. So you've got actually cypress rods in it for the pump rods, which are buoyant, so it actually gives enough buoyancy. And people figured this out in the freaking mid-1800s, you know, 1840, 1850. It's like, well, you got a really deep well, you got to have a little more buoyancy. Unless you have a 20, 30-foot windmill up there, it's not going to pump water out of the ground, you know. It, just basic common sense has been driven out of people.
Wow. Well, the only other point I wanted to make on this property tax, these hedge funds, which this BlackRock and Vanguard, they're hedge funds. You know they're front-running the market. So they're screwing pension funds on the stock market, and they're probably one of these people that get, when they put money into the economy, the Federal Reserve does, or the government, you know they're probably getting first crack at a lot of it. So they're just screwing us all the way around. So that's my comment.
Sherry, you're my queen of jade, you know. And yes, Sherry, the helplessness that they have instilled in people, and you want to call it learned helplessness or just accepted helplessness. I hate what I see society turning around me. You know? My queen of jade, I hear you call into shows all over the place. I hear you on other networks and everything. I always love your calls.
Well, thanks, Alan. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Take care, my friend.
Okay. Art, any last words? Any last thoughts? You can have more thoughts after this. Not on this show.
None at the moment.
I think it's interesting when we started with talking about homelessness
and we ended with
helplessness.
Yeah,
fascinating.
You know, even homeless isn't helpless. Okay, you know,
I never said
when you were homeless, you were not helpless. You knew how to exist in the environment that you were. I don't know if it was willing or not, but, you know, but the helplessness they created in people, that's what sickens me. Praise the Mother Earth and the
farther sky. All right. That's it, folks. We're public broadcasting. Help them out, man.
Damn. I'm sorry, people. I get passionate. Take care. Stay sane.
Take care, Alan. Art, thanks for joining us.
And no problem, man. Anytime. Thanks.
The tree of life is us, my friends. What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6400.